Hello and welcome to the Kinetic Fitness Show, where we inspire you to live a longer, healthier, happy, and more joyful life. We cover everything you need to know to be optimally healthy in your mind, body, and spirit. Are you ready to become the ultimate version of yourself? Well, let's dive into another episode with your host and guide by your side, Allie West.
Hey, Chungus, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. How are you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing amazing, Allie. Thank you for having me. Very blessed to be here.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. I'm looking forward to it. It's a different topic for this podcast, something that we've probably not covered before, but I'm really excited to dive into it and see where the conversation takes us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you're kind of into like fitness and healthy living. So like definitely healthy relationships is a big kind of factor into that.
100%, 100%. I think a great starting point and how I like to start most of my podcasts is with your story. So if you could share a little bit of your backstory and then also how you help people and what you're doing now, and then we'll go from there and we'll see where that story might take us to start off with.
Absolutely, absolutely. So my nickname is the Healthy Dating Coach for Men. I focus on, you know, helping good men attract healthy relationships via self-improvement in the modern age. And I help guys, you know, attract healthy relationships even if they don't have 6 feet, six figures, or a six pack. And like my story, you know, kind of, you know, how I got into everything, it's that I'm, you know, like, not to get too deep, right? But I'm somebody like many others that has overcome a lot of challenges in my life. You know, back when I was younger, and just, you know, like things such as, you know, I used to be like a nice guy, used to be the bad boy stereotype as well. I used to, you know, be a frat boy, used to live in a frat house, used to be a part of hookup culture and all that. And I've been in toxic relationships. And then from there, you know, I learned about, you know, like what toxic relationships are. I learned how to date in ways that are healthier than what I used to be a part of. And I really learned, I made a lot of mistakes, you know, as a kid. And I also learned a lot from my mistakes. And now I'm kind of just, you know, focusing on trying to be the best person that I can be, being the father figure that I wish that I had when I was younger, and really helping others, you know, learn how to date without having to go through all the challenges that I went through.
Amazing. That was very quick and succinct. I love it.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, and there's a few things that I want to touch on. Before, I really want to get into your methodology, but before we do that, my first question is, you're a very young guy, you're 22 years old. So a lot of people might think, oh, well, he's 22 years old, maybe he hasn't got the experience or the knowledge of relationships. I want to know what experience and what gives you the, in air quotes, qualifications to coach other guys on relationships, if you get where I'm coming from.
Yeah, completely understandable. And, you know, there's like, you know, stuff, you know, like getting degrees and stuff like that, or maybe getting like ICF certified, you know, just stuff like that, right? But really my experience, you know, the greatest life lessons, really it comes from my own personal experience. I've had three serious relationships now. My first relationship was toxic, right? We met on Tinder, and I used to be a frat boy, right? So that first relationship lasted about 6 months. We were on and off for about 3 months. Second relationship was about 2 years. And from there, I took a 8-month break. Now, that relationship at first, you know, it was a very healthy relationship. It was an amazing relationship. But, you know, as time passed, it became, you know, it didn't work out very well, right? You know, like with everything going on over the past few years, it kind of caused a lot of stress for us. And then the third relationship, we've been dating together. We've been together for about 7 months now. And it's been an amazing relationship. I love her family. Her family loves me. You know, we spend a lot of time together. But like, you know, a healthy amount. But like, I don't know, it's, you know, every single, you know, experience that I've had has been a whole like learning lesson. But also, like, I've spent over 8 years studying dating and relationships, because I used to be extremely lonely as a kid. You know, that's something that a lot of people face nowadays, and something that I'm working on challenging or trying to solve is modern day loneliness. You know, men and women, we've been so disconnected with all the apps and everything and just everything going online. And that's, you know, something that I've been working on. And of course, you know, like, I have mentors and all that, done a lot of research myself, but really it comes from personal experience and just like years of dedication to this, and really just really being motivated to figure out how to date in a healthy way. Because like, I'm somebody, you know, like a lot of people, you know, if they didn't know my age, they would be like, oh man, like the way he talks, he must be like 30 or 40. I've actually had people ask me if I'm like 34, right? And what happened is that as a kid, you know, like not to get like, you know, like too much of a sob story, but as a kid, I was actually somebody who had to grow up really fast at a very young age, right? So I've been financially independent since I was like 18, 19. You know, like my parents disowned me because, you know, I wanted to date outside of my race and all that. But really, like many others, you know, I am a war refugee, right? I'm a Burmese war refugee. So I had to learn how to overcome that, but also I had to learn how to overcome poverty. And like my parents as well, like my biological father was not a very good father. So they had a toxic relationship and he was also very abusive. So I had to, you know, like deal with that kind of stuff. And I had to grow up really fast at a young age.
Mm. Yeah, well, that childhood upbringing defines us, doesn't it? It defines who we are as we get older. And it's up to us as an individual to not make the same mistakes that our parents and ancestors made.
Seriously. Yeah, and that's the thing, like, it's, you know, like this kind of stuff, you know, like, you know, the upbringing, like the childhood traumas, it's like you have to heal from that. You have to learn from that. You have to heal from that. Otherwise, you're just going to repeat the cycles.
Exactly. Exactly. I want to talk then, Chungus, about healthy dating. So your nickname is the Healthy Dating Coach. What does healthy dating mean? What is it?
Healthy dating, it's an alternative to a lot of the toxic advice that's out there, especially nowadays, that's being you know, taught in modern day society. Are you familiar kind of with like the modern dating scene? I know you're currently married.
Well, I know about apps and Tinder and all that kind of stuff, but I've never used them myself. So yeah, I've been married now for, it's going to be 5 years this year, and I've been with my wife for seven and a half years. So yeah, so I'm not really into the modern dating scene, but I've got an idea of some of the stuff that goes on. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, first off, congratulations for being married for seven years, right?
Married for nearly five. So it'll be 5 years in July. But we've been together for seven years, yeah, since 2015.
Wow. Very impressive. Big props, man.
Thank you. My soulmate. Sarah's my soulmate.
Ah, shout out to Sarah. Yeah, but with modern dating, right? So, like, of course there's the apps, but, like, what happened is that nowadays there's like a lot of toxic stuff out there, and especially with the apps, it's like social media has kind of, you know, accelerated, you know, the division between men and women. Especially with the apps, what we've noticed is that with the apps, it's kind of changed the dynamics between, you know, female and male relationships, and it's really caused rise for a lot of movements which have kind of separated men and women from each other. There's a lot of toxic things out there, and that goes into the concept of the manosphere, which I respect the manosphere. There's a lot of things that I value about the manosphere. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but
no, what is that? Explain.
If I had to explain it right in a simple way, it's basically, think about feminism. The manosphere is basically the male equivalent of feminism back when it first started, right? So we're talking about first wave, second wave, third wave feminism. The manosphere is basically, like, and like a lot of people aren't going to like, you know, like to be compared to feminism, but that's what it is, really. It's basically the male version of that. And what they did was, you know, they took a look at different things. But one of the things that they take a look at is like the marriage statistics. Like if they took a look at family court and stuff like that. And also just what happens with divorce and, you know, like custody battles and stuff like that. And basically from there, they kind of created this community, you know, designed to help men. But in the manosphere, they have like these things, it's called the red pill and stuff like that. And basically, it's kind of like an awakening, kind of comes from like the Matrix, you know, like if you're not familiar with the red pill, then you're like blue pill. And what happened was, you know, you've got all these things, it's these modern dating strategies, like the red pill and stuff like that, you know, branches from that. And what they've done is, unfortunately, with the manosphere, there's a red pill, there's movements like MGTOW, and obviously there's also things like incels and stuff like that. But unfortunately, like these communities have grown in size over the past couple of years. And although a lot of them started with good intentions, they've started to be like more hateful towards women and like really just bashful, you know, and it's just very toxic, a lot of drama. There's some good stuff in the manosphere, but like there's a lot of toxic drama as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a bit like the whole alpha male, like you have to be alpha and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It goes into the alphas and the betas and the sigma males and stuff like that.
Yeah. I've got you. So the healthy dating then is a more more balanced way of doing things and more loving and more meaningful as opposed to toxicity.
Yeah. So the reason why I've noticed that a lot of people go into like the manosphere and stuff like that is because it's like if you take a look at the statistics, like men are extremely lonely right now. Of course, women are lonely as well, right? But men are just like, if you take a look at the online dating statistics and stuff like that, it's much easier for women with online dating. And like it's really easy for women to get validation through apps like Tinder and so on and so forth. And what happens is it's really hard for the average like man to compete in the dating market nowadays compared to the average woman, right? Not to bash women or anything, right? The goal here is to reconnect us. But from there, what happened is that a lot of people, especially men, feel like, you know, they can't succeed if they don't have 6 feet, six figures, or six pack. Because that's the toxic standard nowadays, right? You have to look like a Greek god. You have to look like a Chad. Otherwise, you cannot, you know, attract any women. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to provide an alternative because, you know, like it comes from, like my advice comes from a guy that has found success in dating, that's had multiple, you know, serious relationships, and has also like failed. I've been a part of the hookup culture and all that, right? But I've never had 6 feet. I've never had six figures, right? I've never made more than $40,000. You know, like when I was seriously dating, like, you know, back in college and stuff, like 2-3 years ago, I was making maybe like $27,000 total, right? So I've never had 6 feet. I've never had six figures. And I've also currently don't have a six pack. And this actually might be kind of interesting for your podcast here. Have you ever heard of Fit to Fat to Fit?
Yeah.
Yes. So you know about Drew Manning and everything?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've actually recently completed my own little mini version of the Fit to Fat to Fit challenge. So instead of going the whole 6 months on and 6 months off, I ate a Big Mac every day for 30 days, right? I felt terrible, dude. Mental health was like down, like it was terrible and everything. But what I did was I documented this journey because growing up as a kid, you know, I was always extremely insecure, right? I thought that because I was short and because I was Asian, I could never be considered attractive because that's what I saw in the media, right? Short guys, it's like short guys can't succeed. If you're not like 5'10", you know, 5'11", 6 feet, you can't succeed. So that's the message that I was receiving. So I decided as a kid, hey, I'm going to spend as much effort as I can just really to become, you know, the attractive, you know, like the attractive, like, man that breaks the stereotype of the short Asian male, right? So I dedicated a lot of years to becoming more attractive. But what I noticed is that, you know, I already lived that. So I don't have 6 feet. I've never had six figures and I don't currently have a six pack. So I was like, okay, I want to do something to inspire men. I really want to do something to where it's like, you know, already, you know, it's like, if I can succeed, then you can succeed, you know, other guys can succeed as well. But I wanted to do something a little bit extra, right? And it's like, I gave myself a challenge based off on Fit to Fat to Fit, and I ate a Big Mac every day for 30 days. And I documented the whole journey, and I'm currently working on like editing, like, you know, like the whole thing and like making it a mini documentary and all that. But I went to McDonald's and I literally ate a Big Mac every day for 30 days. And what I noticed, and I got a DEXA scan too, right? At the beginning, I was like 26.9% body fat. I think you're familiar with a DEXA scan.
Yeah. I don't know how accurate they are though.
Yeah, the DEXA scan is considered the most accurate, like it's the most accurate way to measure body fat from what I know. But so I got that and it told me I was about 26.9% body fat at the beginning of this challenge, right? So I still need to go to the doctor and, you know, get it scanned again. But what happened was, you know, like throughout this whole journey, I did it because I want to inspire men. So my goal here is like, I ate a Big Mac every day for 30 days, you know, make a whole mini documentary around that. And then like, and document my journey, like building an aesthetic body, going back from fat to fit and just losing all that weight. And it's just like, I don't know, dude, like going through the challenge, like I kind of, you know, told myself I can't work out for the whole 30 days, dude. Like it felt terrible. And what happened was, and I kind of knew that it was going to happen, you know, I was kind of be able to resonate with guys, right? You know, especially guys that, you know, deal with, you know, insecurities about their weight or anything like that, right? Maybe they got, you know, a little bit of a belly. But it's like, dude, it's kind of like, you know, if you've ever worked in the food industry or ever worked as a server, you know, you're always going to remember, you know, like to treat servers with respect, you know. And it was kind of like that. It's like, I've always kind of been skinny fat my entire life. But like going through this challenge, dude, like it made me really appreciate my health. It was, dude, like literally one night I threw up in my toilet and I woke up on my bathroom floor. That's how bad it got, dude.
Yeah, Well, you don't need to tell me. You're speaking to the converted.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, yeah, it's so important. I want to ask you about dating and finding a partner. So I think obviously we're in a crazy changing time where there's the generational changes are more apparent now probably than they ever have been before. And I think for people that are probably say under 30, maybe slightly younger, maybe under 28, they probably don't know any different than going on an app such as Tinder or Snapchat or Instagram or Facebook and messaging people to get a partner or to find a woman that they might want to date or create a relationship with. So we'll start with those people first, those younger demographic. What's your tips and your advice to those people to cultivate and find a loving relationship when probably the only way they know of doing it is sliding into the DM?
Yeah. Understandable. Yeah, for sure. And we can definitely get actionable. What we notice with modern dating, right? Nowadays, right? Especially with the younger crowd, especially with these apps, Tinder and apps like that, what happened with that is it really caused a huge rise in casual sex and just hookup culture, right? It's a lot more commonplace and it's a lot more acceptable to just sleep around nowadays. And that it's really easy to get into toxic relationships when you're part of hookup culture, right? And that comes from a guy that used to, you know, live in a frat house, right? Used to be a frat boy. And in terms of actionable advice, it really depends on, you know, first off, we have to, you know, establish what do you want. Like, this is something that I've kind of realized, definitely when I was healing from my, you know, my second breakup, is that we all have a genuine need for human connection. And a lot of us, you know, whenever we engage in, you know, stuff like, you know, if somebody's in a part of hookup culture, we really just want love and affection. You know, a lot of us, you know, we didn't have, you know, the love and affection that we needed from our, childhood, like our parents. And that goes into like attachment styles and stuff like that. But, and then what we'll do is we'll often, you know, just use casual sex or stuff like that, things that we really shouldn't be engaging in, to compensate, you know, for the love that a lot of us didn't receive. Of course, not everybody, but a lot of us, right? So in terms of actionable advice, first, this advice is for people that want a serious relationship, that want a committed relationship, and that want to make it and keep it healthy. So the advice that I have is to, you know, focus on, I break it down into two things and then three more things on top of that. First is your self-improvement. And this is whether you're a guy or a girl, but especially for guys. Focus on your self-improvement first and then focus on good communication, right? So I don't like to focus on just really learning like tactics to, get people to, you know, like be interested in you or, you know, stuff like that, right? Focus more on becoming attractive yourself. Now, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about like MBTI, like psychology and stuff like that and how that plays into it. But so with self-improvement, so what we want to do is the first thing is that we're always going to, you know, break it down to the three pillars of dating success. That's what I call it. You're always going to, you know, start off with your good looks, right? So we want to, you know, think about our physical appearance because that's the first thing anybody's going to notice about you, right? So obviously, you know, like, you know, you've got that amazing beard, right? You've got very long hair, very nice. But like, you know, somebody might notice if you're wearing glasses or something like that, right? So your haircut, that's something that somebody's going to notice. People are also going to notice your style, the kind of clothes that you wear. Is it baggy or is it slim fit? Does it fit tight and nice to your body? What kind of physique do you have, right? But also, they're also going to notice, and this is incredibly important, and this is something that a lot of people overlook, your hygiene. Like, women are incredibly attracted to men that have good hygiene.
That is so true. Sorry to interrupt, but yeah, my wife always says that I always smell nice and I'm always clean. So that's a good thing.
Exactly, right? Yes. It goes a long way. It goes a long way. So so the first thing is good looks. And then from there, and we do it logically in this order, right? So good looks, and then we look at our social skills and our social proof. Now, in order to, and the way that I designed this whole process, it's designed to prevent toxic relationships if you go through this process. So we want to focus on really having good social skills and learning how to make friends, right? And how to build connections and how to talk to people, right? In order to flirt with women, you have to learn how to treat women respectfully and how to communicate with women in a non-sexual way, right? And that's what I tell guys, is that if you believe that, you know, men and women cannot be friends, of course, there needs to be boundaries, right? Respectful boundaries. But if you believe that men and women cannot be friends, it's going to cause you, you know, issues in your dating life, right? Because that means you're only viewing women as sexual objects. So that's something that I make very clear with my guys. So good looks and then social skills, learn how to talk to people, learn how to make friends with people, and how to really connect with people. And then from there, you want to have social proof, right? And this comes to attraction. If you think about any guy that's considered attractive, think about the most attractive men. One example is Henry Cavill. A lot of guys compare me to Henry Cavill, and they compare my girlfriend to Amy Adams because my girlfriend looks exactly like Amy Adams and I look nothing like Henry Cavill, right? But what Henry Cavill what Henry Cavill and guys like Henry Cavill have is a lot of social proof. Of course, he's a very good looking guy, but a lot of these, you know, actors and stuff like that, you know, like really famous people, they have social proof. Now, as a guy in a city, you know, like in your own little community, you can develop your own social proof by having social skills to make friends, right? Even if you're not constantly surrounded by friends, let's say there's a really pretty girl and you go to approach her. If you first talk to everybody around that area and you kind of connect with others, you're going to feel more confident. You're going to feel a little bit more, you know, socially ready to talk to a girl. Also, she's going to be thinking that, you know, like, man, this guy kind of knows everybody, or he's a really confident guy. So it helps you build social proof before you talk to that girl. Now, so good look, social skills, social proof. There's also, you can do stuff like, you know, build a podcast or build a YouTube channel, or you can build like an Instagram following or maybe a Facebook, things like that. But really, like, Instagram nowadays is kind of like a business card, right? So just building your Instagram, especially if you're in your 20s to 30s, if you're a little bit older, maybe something like Facebook or maybe just doing like other things, you know, in your career would be like a form of social proof. But having like, especially if you're in 20s to 30s, having an Instagram following above 1,000 followers, like real followers, is something that's really useful. Now, so good looks, social skills, social proof, and then we go to confidence. Now, confidence is something that a lot of people mistake, right? There's a lot of sayings such as, you know, fake it till you make it, and that's something that I don't advocate for. Confidence, really, at the very core of it, confidence is about knowing that you're going to be okay no matter what happens, right? That's really, it comes into self-esteem, having a healthy level of that. But when you're confident in yourself, you know, you know that you're going to be okay even if that pretty girl rejects you, right? You just want to see what happens. And you know, like, you're not being needy, you're not, you know, going up to that cute girl and just being like, oh my God, like, you know, like, please marry me right now, you know, like, you are my everything, like, you know, like, that's extremely needy, right? So also with confidence, the way that I approach it, it's very practical, right? So if you're in, like, let's say, you've got your gym, right? Your very fancy gym, you're going to feel very confident, very safe there. But if you go to a completely new gym across the world in a place that where you don't even speak the language, you might feel a little bit more anxious, right? Because you really don't know anybody. You don't know the language. It's a new environment. Same thing if you were to do like a new activity. If you had to give a speech to, like, you know, 1,000 people in front of like 1,000 people about something that you have never studied before, you might feel a little bit more anxious, a little bit more, you know, like, nervous, right? But if you were to talk to somebody about fitness, you know, like, right off the bat, I mean, you're an expert in that. You've got years of experience in that. You own your own gym. The same thing here, you know, really being in your comfort zone, having places, I tell guys, like, you know, having places that you feel comfortable in, right? And if you don't already feel comfortable in places, go to places, do your research. For example, like, think about like a restaurant, right? You know, if you take a girl to a restaurant and, you know, like, for the first time, and I don't recommend a restaurant on the first date, but say you take a girl to like a restaurant for the first time, you've never been there before, you're not going to feel very confident. But if you've been eating at a local mom and pop shop for your entire life, you know the owners, you know the waiters and everything, you're going to feel a lot more confident. You're going to feel at home there. Same thing here. You build confidence by taking baby steps and taking, you know, little steps here and there. instead of just going all in, that's a big mistake that a lot of people make, is just going all in and just rushing things, and you know, or even using liquid courage, right? Alcohol. That's something I tell guys to stay away from as much as possible, especially when you're trying to date, because it adds a lot of complications and it can give you like legal issues as well. So stay away from alcohol. Don't use liquid courage, because that's not really confidence, you know? And then from there, so then we have good looks, social skills, social proof, confidence, and the last thing is charisma, right? And the three pillars. Charisma is like, you know, learning how to talk with women, you know, like, you know, how to, you know, like how to flirt with them, you know, and just, you know, how to, you know, have a little bit of fun. Now, with charisma, it's the last thing that we focus on, because if you focus on everything else, like, you know, you're looking good, you're smelling good, you know, you got nice style, you're building your physique, and you're being confident, you got your social skills and all that, you need less charisma. And a lot of people associate it with game, but I don't really like to, you know, like focus too much on that, because I don't want anybody playing with anybody's heart, right? But there is a little bit of seduction and stuff like that that goes into charisma. But the rule that I have with seduction is that you're only allowed to use that kind of stuff if it's somebody that, you know, you have already, you know, like established that, hey, you guys are in a romantic relationship, right? Whether you guys are married together, or maybe you guys have been dating for a little bit of time, then you're allowed to use stuff like seduction. And seduction goes into, like, you know, how you touch each other, you know, the words that you say and stuff like that. But it's something that you really want to be very careful about. You don't want to just go around trying to seduce everybody, you know?
Amazing. Makes sense. Yeah, because it's all like it's layering, isn't it? It's a bit, it's the same with health and fitness. It's like you start with the basics and you build your endurance, and then you layer on top of it, then you get strength, and then you get power and all of that kind of stuff. It's exactly the same with this. You're not going in with the high level stuff too soon. You're building the foundation so that individual can set themselves up for success rather than set themselves up for failure.
Exactly. You got to build your foundations, right? It's kind of like building a house. But so then from there, so there's the three pillars, that's self-improvement, right? And we focus on building ourselves up, becoming more attractive, you know, really just leveling ourselves up, being the best version of ourselves. But then from there, we also have to learn good communication. And self-improvement aspect is harder than the communication aspect, but really when you have done all this, when you are confident in yourself, right, you're going to get to a point to where you can literally go up to a woman that you're attracted to. If you go about it in this, you know, logical, step-by-step, practical way, you're going to be able to go up to a woman that you're attracted to and just tell her, you know, that you are attracted to her and that you like to ask her out. Now, the way that I go about with good communication, right, is that I don't want guys, you know, to just, you know, skirt around the bush, right? I want you to be, as a man, historically speaking, it's always been our job to protect and provide. We have always been the leaders, right? So we have to lead the interaction. Otherwise, as a man, if you stop leading, you know, your woman's going to lose attraction for you, and a lot of times respect. And respect, like, once you lose a woman's respect, it's very dangerous territory. Now, so as a man, we have to lead. So, you know, you build yourself first, you know, work on that, and then you find the woman that you're attracted to. And then what I want you to do is then go and tell her and communicate to her that you're interested in her. Now, you don't have to go right off the bat. And I tell guys, don't use pickup lines. Like, no. Like, have you ever seen Friends?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, Joey Tribbiani?
Yeah.
Do you know the saying that he always says? His pickup line?
How you doing?
Exactly. That's what I tell guys. That's the best pickup line. It's hi, how are you? Right? Or a variation of that. But it's literally, because it's not about what you say, it's about how you say it. And really what it's about starting a conversation. So that's what I tell guys. Don't try to use pickup lines. Don't try to, you know, like, you know, manipulate her or anything like that. Like, literally just go up to her and start a conversation. Ask a genuine question. Right? You could literally be like, hey, do you know where I can find, you know, Essex Street? Or, hey, do you know where I can find, you know, a really good this or that? Or, hey, quick question. What do you like better, this or this? Right. And it's like just starting a conversation with a question is really a great way to do it. And what I tell guys is, like, you know, if you're not confident enough yet to, you know, like, ask a girl that you're attracted to, ask a guy. Right. Ask a guy. Or here's another big tip that I like to give guys. Go to the gym and ask a guy to spot you, or offer to spot a guy, or give a guy a genuine compliment. Just literally a fist bump at the gym. And, you know, you're in fitness, like, a lot of guys, they go into the gym, like, for two reasons. And of course, you know, like, like it depends on everybody, right? But two main reasons that I've noticed is, number one, to build your body, of course, you know, like to get a better body, to lose some weight or build some muscle. And oftentimes it's to attract the opposite sex. But a big second reason that a lot of guys go to the gym is because of their mental health, right? A lot of times, you know, guys will heal from a breakup and, you know, like, you know, during the healing process, they'll try to, you know, get bigger and all that, right? That's something that you probably have, you know, experienced in your own career. So go to your gym, go to your local gym, actually get a workout in. But like, don't forget to give a high five to the guy next to you, right? Like, hey, I see you in here all the time. Just want to say, you know, like love the consistency. Just a little compliment like that. Because what we've noticed is, you know, like men hardly ever get compliments, right? Think about how, you know, I was complimenting you about your beard earlier, right? Think about how often, you know, somebody compliments you as a man. It's very rare, you know, unless you're like really good looking, unless you look like, you know, Channing Tatum or something like that, or Chris Hemsworth. Oftentimes men don't get complimented as much as women. So it's like, if you can talk to a man.
Do you know what though I love about that, Chungus, is it disarms people. Because, you know, when you get a compliment, you are automatically disarmed, because in this day and age, I think that we don't expect it. So when it comes, one, it's really, for me, when I get complimented, I really like it. I feel special and I feel amazing when people compliment me. But also, I feel disarmed. There's no friction or tension there. So if you're complimenting, whether it's the same sex or opposite sex, you're disarming that situation and making the communication flow more easily and more effectively.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a great thing with, you know, compliments. And of course, we have to be very tasteful with the compliments that we give women, right? With women, I tell guys, like, this is a saying, right? Pretty girls like to be, man, just dropping value. Pretty girls like to be told that they're smart. Smart girls like to be told that they're pretty. And, you know, it's a very interesting thing, but that's something a lot of people don't think about. But what I recommend, guys, is that, you know, if you want to, you know, talk to a girl that is considered like incredibly attractive, don't even mention her looks. If you're going to compliment her on something that she chose to do, like an activity or something that she would be proud of. Because I guarantee you, like, pretty girls have heard it all the time that they're pretty, right? So it's like whatever, right? But if you compliment her on maybe like her artwork, or if you compliment her on something she chose to wear, like her earrings, right? That can go a much longer way than giving, you know, just like a compliment just solely based on her physical appearance.
100%. I've got so many questions off the back of all of that. I'm just gonna hit you with them, the order that they come to me, or the order that I've wrote them down in. My first one is, what if someone is really scared? How do you work on people that are really fearful of even starting up a conversation with the opposite sex? Because I know maybe when I was younger, that was a thing for me. Like I had that nervousness or that maybe anxiousness of speaking to a girl for maybe fear of rejection, or I had that fear within me. How do you help people overcome that? And what are your tips to help someone that's like almost frozen by fear when it comes to speaking to a girl or speaking to a guy?
Yeah, there's baby steps. There's so many ways. And thank you for sharing, right? Thank you for asking the question. So there's so many things that you can do. But what I, like, anytime, you know, this is what I call a challenge, right? And when I think of challenges, I call it a fun challenge. I call it not a problem, really, but it's like an opportunity for improvement, right? And it's like, I don't know, that's just how my brain is designed. It's like, you know, oh, we've got a challenge. Let's solve this. So when it comes to that, right, one thing that I always like to refer back to is the concept that we all have a genuine need for human connection, right? So the way that I see it is that, you know, we never know what somebody's going through. Everybody has a story, right? So what I tell my guys is, like, you know, I want you to understand that person you're talking to, yes, she's pretty, right? She's a member of the opposite sex. Maybe you're not too, you know, comfortable talking with girls right now. But understand, she's a human being just like you, right? I don't care how famous she is. I don't care how rich she is. I don't care how good looking she is. She's a human being just like you, right? So what I want you to do is I want you to build a connection with this human being and stop just focusing on her looks. Now, in regards to building, like, you know, like a practical, like building the confidence to talk to girls, especially, you know, girls that are, you know, just, that you're attracted to, it starts with first, you know, understanding that they're human beings. And one thing is, you know, like, what I want to tell guys is, like, you know, think about, you know, who you're most attracted to. Think about the most beautiful woman in the world, you know, in your own eyes, right? And I'm not going to get you in trouble with your wife or anything, right? But
she's next door. She can hear.
But think about that. but we think about that, and then, like, literally look up their name, like the celebrity, and with no makeup, and then you start to see, hey, you know, like this, you know, like because makeup does so much, and a lot of girls will wear makeup, and a lot of guys don't know that, you know, girls actually don't wear makeup all the time. And then from there, so then there's that. So then, you know, take off the makeup, and then, you know, it starts to be a little bit more easier. And then really just, you know, you have to, you know, like start off with things like, you know, getting comfortable just talking to guys, right? And then getting comfortable talking to women that you're not attracted to, right? So it could be like your cousins, it could be your mom, it could be your grandma, and really just, you know, talking with those women. And then from there, slowly start to talk with women that, you know, you are attracted to, you know, in baby steps. And really just, like, for example, go to like a grocery store, you know, where you know there's like a pretty cashier or something, and just go to checkout, right? And just ask her a question, like, hey, where can I find this? Or you know, like ask her when the store closes, right? Little things like that is going to build your confidence, and it's going to make it easier. Or you could literally go to Target and, you know, ask somebody, you know, like that's, you know, like doing the clothes with the aisles, right? Just be like, hey, where can I find a Nike shirt, or where can I find a golf shirt or something like that? And just doing that kind of stuff, it builds your confidence step by step by step. But there's no way besides actually taking action. But there also, there's stuff like, you know, practice eye contact, like videos on YouTube, you can also do as well. Have you ever heard of that?
I know the importance of it, yeah, but I've not seen any of the videos, yeah.
There's so many, dude. Like, that's something that when I was younger, dude, like, it's kind of weird to say, but when I was younger, I had to do that.
Do you know what I really love about all of this stuff? What I really love about all of this stuff is that we're obviously talking about dating and relationships, but this stuff has carry over into the rest of your life as well. Because if you practice this stuff, if you get better at self-confidence, communication, of looking after yourself, that's going to carry over into your job and into your family life and every single facet of your life. And that's why I love this stuff, because a lot of the time it gets a bad rep, particularly from, you know, like pickup artists and stuff like that. But there's so many techniques and psychological things that you can use even in a business environment. I've used some of them when I'm networking or communicating with people or negotiating or trying to make a sale. This stuff goes into other areas of your life as well.
Yeah, and a big part of it also is your intentions, right? Because like with the pickup artist community in the manosphere, the red pill, seduction, I've studied all those communities, right? You know, when I was younger, you know, and that's kind of thing. It's like I'm trying to give an alternative to that, to those communities. But like, you know, learning charisma and stuff like that, it goes so far. And it also goes into like sales and learning how to, you know, like, you know, sell without being sleazy or anything like that. But like learning how to communicate with people, learning good eye contact, learning like a good posture, learning how to shake somebody's hand, all of that is incredibly useful. And that's another thing, like, you know, understanding the dynamics of how to, you know, how to interact with women, that's incredibly useful. It's like, you know, this is a question that a lot of guys, you know, have or never even really think about until the time comes up when you meet a girl that you're not romantically interested in, right? Or, you know, like a female coworker, do you shake her hand or do you hug her? Or do you when you first start, or do you end the conversation with a hug? It's little these little dynamics that a lot of guys never think about, you know?
Yeah, I hug everyone.
Exactly. Just give a high five, hug everybody. Just a fist bump.
Yeah, that's it. Spread the love.
Yeah, spread the love. Ooh, man. And that's like, dude, that's like one of my, I know we have like the quote at the end, but like, dude, that's my quote, dude. Spread love and it will come back to you, man. I believe in karma so much.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I love that you said earlier that ultimately, as human beings, that's what we all want. We want love and connection. And I think sometimes guys in particular, they see a pretty girl and that they get almost blinded by the looks and forget that girl, as pretty as she may be, she still wants connection and love just like you do. So I think that's a great point that you put out. And that's why in my opinion, that pickup artist or that kind of community is toxic, because you're almost treating the opposite sex as a tool or as an item rather than a human being.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's, you know, it goes into attention. It's like pickup has a lot of useful things. You know, and you know, like when I was a kid, I used to look up to those guys. I thought they were like what like a man's supposed to be, right? And I was very naive back then. But it's like, it's about the intentions, because a lot of the things that, you know, you learn in pickup, it's connected to self-improvement, right? It's kind of like, you know, fitness or like, for example, like combat sports, right? The human body can only move in so many ways, no matter what sport you're in. You know, like a strike is a strike, a punch is a punch, a kick is a kick. Same thing with this, you know, learning how to communicate, learning how to talk to people, you know, like it's huge, you know, like it plays into so many different things. But with pickup, the sole objective is to sleep with women. And also it's really objectifying to women, which is something that, you know, like, you know, like that's really what it is. You know, it's just about sex. And from somebody that's been a part of hookup culture, you know, casual sex destroys your soul, in my opinion. And it destroys society. And it just, you know, just sleeping around with people and really not, you know, like having deep connections with people and just, you know, using each other's bodies, it really ruins you.
Yeah. Because it's not real. It's what I'd call, in air quotes, fake connection. It's not that deep, meaningful connection. And it's not, there's no real love involved with that. It's more lust than love.
It is lust. Yeah. That's that thing. It's like, you know, like, dude, man, love at first sight. That's something that a lot of people grow up, you know, hearing. Love at first sight. It's just lust. It's just physical appearance. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. I want to ask you about the tech, because we touched on it briefly earlier. So tech such as social media and dating apps, what's your views on them? Have they got a place? Can people build meaningful relationships through tech, or are you a bit against it? What's your vibe on tech?
Yes. So I think that, so right off the bat, I despise Tinder. Like, I've used it before, like, you know, and it helped, but I despise Tinder because it's just for hookup culture. However, there are other apps out there. I don't think that Bumble was very successful because it kind of flipped the dynamics, you know, like, and now women had to lead. So it kind of, you know, just, it didn't work, in my opinion. But apps like Hinge, I think Hinge is the main one right now that's really working. But I focus on, you can use tech, but rather the best dating app, in my opinion, is Instagram. Because you can build a social proof and you can use it to build social connections, right? And you can use it like a business card and all that. But also, you can easily, it's much more, it's less pressure, like it's much more low pressure to ask a woman for her Instagram account than it is to ask her for her number. Because a number is very intimate, right? We don't really give it away too much. But Instagram's like, hey. And then the beautiful thing about Instagram, this goes into like strategies, right? With Instagram or like Snapchat, right? With Instagram, you can and this is something that a lot of girls will do. They'll post, like, you know, they'll follow you, and then they'll post on their story because they want you to comment on their story, right? And guys do this too, and that's that's something that ex-girlfriends have done to me. But posting your story and replying to somebody else's story is a great way to like have little touch points with others, you know, especially women that you're attracted to. So doing that, you can also comment on their posts. This is another little thing that you can do. Say you follow like a girl, right? Then you can go ahead and you can like a couple of her photos, right? And you scroll through, and she's gonna know that you liked her photos. You know, she's gonna be aware of that, and then she might like a couple of your photos back. It's these little things, you know, like the courtship process, you know, in the modern day.
Yeah. I get it. Do you have any facts and figures or any idea of what the makeup is of people getting into relationships from tech as opposed to offline at the moment? I know it's going to be different across like age demographics, but you know, people maybe under 30, so I'm 34, so maybe people younger than me and maybe people your age, are more people getting together and making relationships online or offline, or have you got those figures?
It's tough. Like, I don't have the figures you know, with me right now, but it's tough. Like, one of my mentors, she was like a lead matchmaker for eHarmony, right? But the thing about, you know, because there's been eHarmony, there's been Match.com, you know, there's so many, you know, websites throughout the ages, right? Right now, it's mainly stuff like, you know, Coffee Meets Bagel, Hinge, OkCupid, Tinder, Bumble, stuff like that. But what I've noticed is that, you know, over the past 2 years, right, with lockdown and everything, definitely people were using apps heavy. But my prediction is that people are actually going to start going off the apps, right? And this is why I focus not on teaching guys how to build the most amazing dating profile. It's actually pretty easy to build an amazing dating profile. It's not that hard. But what I tell guys is, you know, you have to focus on, you know, in-person relationships, because you want, you know, like chances are you're going to want to maintain an in-person, in real life relationships. So if you're just focused on, you know, having the best text game, and this is something also like learning how to text a girl is actually one of the most biggest time wasters, in my opinion. It's important, right? But literally, if you look like the way it is, women know how to text, and women know if they're attracted to a man. If you text a woman and like her texts are completely dry, she's probably not attracted to you. But if you're like really good looking and she's really attracted to you, I guarantee you she will have like amazing, you know, like she will know how to text, right? Because women are pretty smart. And, you know, it literally, if you look at, you know, your own text messages with your wife, Sarah, or, you know, me with my girlfriend, like literally we send the stupidest messages. Right, we'll be like, sad, dude, you know, or we'll just like send emojis.
Yeah, mainly gifts with us.
Exactly, right? And it, like, dude, like literally, you could see my messages. I'm literally like, throughout the day, I'll just be like, you my baby, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'll just say, you my baby, and then she'd be like, damn right, you know? Like, we just text the stupidest things, right? And she'll just be like, baby, with like a whole bunch of whys. And like, I know exactly what that means. It means that she wants a little bit of affection or attention. And it's like these little things. It's just because the purpose of texting really is to set up the logistics for a date, because we want to set up, you know, we want to focus on the time that we spend with the woman, you know, in real life, instead of just texting. So like in regards to like statistics and stuff, I don't really have that. But I do predict that people are going to start, you know, really focusing on going outside and really having in-person, like in real life relationships, rather than really meeting online. I think online will still be here and will stay here for a long time. But I think that really we're going to see a big shift off online.
Yeah. You talked about earlier bad places to have dates, or you said that you don't want to go to a restaurant on your first dates. So can you give some examples of good places to go on first dates and bad places to go on first dates?
So first off, anything that Disney taught you, like in a romantic comedy or anything like that, I tell guys, it's probably not good advice. So first off, never go on a first date. And if you did take your wife on his first date, I can understand, but like, I recommend never take a woman on a first date to a movie and dinner. It's been so overplayed. I don't recommend it at all, because it's also really awkward. You know, there's the first date jitters and stuff like that. So for the first date, what we have to remember is that, you know, we have to make sure she feels comfortable and safe with us, right? And it has to be a public space, and ideally an activity. So what I recommend is to spend no more than $50 on the first date. And, you know, anything like a walk along a park, right? You know, because then you can, you know, say hi to dogs and stuff like that, play a little bit of frisbee or stuff, you know, just, you know, like a walk with the sun or something. And then you got benches that you can sit on every now and then. But also the beautiful thing about using an activity on a date is that it allows you to, you know, not be such a great conversationalist, right? So anytime the conversation dulls down, because chances are it will dull down, especially on the first few dates, what you can then do is you can just be like, hey, there's a really cute dog. Do you want to go pet it? Or like, hey, do you want to get some ice cream real quick? You know, little things like that. Or you can also do something like mini golf, right? For my girlfriend, that was like one of our first dates was mini golf. But you can also go bowling, right? You can do bowling. You can take like a cooking class or something. That's a little bit more. You have to be careful with that. Make sure it's as low pressure as possible. But literally just going for a walk along on the park is one of the greatest dates that I can recommend, especially if it's a nice, clean park and the weather's good.
Mm. I get it. It's only taken me 7 years to take my wife bowling. We're going tomorrow. I've been trying to get her to go bowling for ages.
Remember, you gotta let
gotta let her win. That's what you're gonna say, aren't you? No, Sarah, she's competitive.
unless she's really competitive, you gotta let her win.
She's competitive. She won't take that, and she'll know as well if I'm letting her win.
Yeah, that's another thing that I recommend, guys. It's like, you know, like I took my girlfriend bowling for our first date, I believe, and she's very introverted, right? And that's something that I kind of didn't notice. It was like the first or second date, and so what I noticed is that, you know, she really wasn't really vibing with the bowling, right? It was kind of loud. She didn't, you know, she just wasn't really into it, and she's also not very competitive. So, you know, like, you know, right there, I had to kind of make the decision. Are we going to, you know, go upstairs and, you know, play one of the mini games, or are we going to go outside and walk? So what we decided is that, you know, the original plan was to go bowling. She was down. But then, you know, the plans changed, and, you know, we have to be open to, you know, plans changing on dates. So then the plans changed, and I took her, you know, just for a walk. It was like, hey, I'm not really feeling bowling right now. So let's go. It's kind of loud in here, right? And, you know, we don't say, hey, you know, I you don't feel like, you know, you're enjoying it. You know, I don't think that you're enjoying it. Rather, it's like, hey, it's kind of loud in here. I can't really hear you. We can't really hear each other. Do you want to go outside and just take a walk downtown, right? Leading the interaction, leading the date like that goes a long way. And, you know, like, girls, they will remember that you're doing these little things. Like, it's really, like, being attentive and really just, you know, being in tune with that. You know, not just focusing on how can I knock all the pins out? How can I be all macho? How can I be so impressive? Really, being attentive goes a long way with women.
Yeah, subtleties.
Yes. Oh, man, like, women are so, like, socially tuned. Like, if we think about, you know, like, from a young age, guys, right, you know, like, if we think about the way that we interact with the world, right, it's much easier for men to interact with the world physically, right, than it is for women. So women, they have to kind of, you know, like, learn, you know, from a young age how to, you know, use their mind, right, and, you know, how to talk with others. That's why, you know, if we think about bullies, right, you know, guys, we physically bully each other, but girls, like, they would, like, verbally and mentally bully each other. It's terrible, you know?
Yeah. I want to ask you, as we start to round things off, what makes up a beautiful relationship? So what does a beautiful relationship look like, feel like? What is it?
So many things that go into it. And, you know, like, I've asked a lot of people, you know, like far older than me that have been married for like 30, 40 years, right? But one of the things that always comes back is good communication. And that's why, you know, it goes into what I built. But really, having patience for each other, understanding each other, and having empathy for each other, and respect is so critical. But what I've noticed also is paying attention to, and I know we're kind of wrapping things up here, but these four little things with psychology is something that I recommend, and you might be a little bit familiar with this yourself. But number one, have you ever heard of love languages?
Yeah.
Yes. So that's a huge one. So understanding your love languages. Have you ever heard of attachment styles?
Yeah.
Yes. Love languages, attachment styles. And also, I'm gonna give you two that you might not know of. Have you ever heard of MBTI or the Enneagram?
Enneagram, yes, because I had someone on my podcast that spoke about that, and his one will come out slightly before yours, so the audience will probably be familiar with it by the time this one comes out. So yeah, but what was the other one?
MBTI. It's called the Myers-Briggs type indicator.
Oh yeah, I've got you.
Yeah, so it's like 16 personalities, but those little four things goes a long way. Like, if you know it, obviously there goes into understanding, like, you know, what codependency is, you know, trauma bonding, stuff like that. But those little four things, like studying psychology, it goes so far. MBTI, Enneagram, love languages, and attachment styles. When you take a look at those things and you study those and do a little bit of research into it, oh man, it changes the way that you view relationships. It's insane.
Yeah. I think I'm glad you led off with communication, because that is absolutely huge. Because I think a lot of the time you think you've got an idea of what that other person's feeling, but you don't know unless you actually have that communication. And that's something that myself and Sarah are huge on. We open those lines of communication, because otherwise, how do we know what the other one's feeling? You've got to ask those questions and have those conversations, even sometimes when they're hard and they're difficult and you might shed some tears, but it's important for the growth of the relationship.
Yeah, and like that goes into also another big thing is conflict resolution. You have to learn how to, you know, resolve conflicts and also how to disagree, because it's literally impossible, you know, to be in a relationship with another human being for years on end and never disagree about anything. It's not physically possible, you know. So we have to learn how to disagree without, you know, yelling at each other, without screaming, without throwing things at each other, stuff like that. Or also like making ultimatums. That's a very toxic thing. You know, like it's like, oh, if you don't do this, then I'm going to break up with you, right? We have to learn how to disagree.
Absolutely. You mainly help guys, Chungus. So I want to round the podcast off like this. So if there's a guy listening to this and they are a single guy and they're looking to find themselves a healthy relationship, and you've given so much incredible advice already, but if you could only give them three tips to leave this episode with, so if they turned it off right now and they could put these three tips into practice that's going to help them to find or cultivate a loving relationship, what would those three tips be?
Yes, so the first thing that I would say is take a look at where you learned how to date. Was it through Disney? Was it through rom-coms? Was it through your parents? And if it was your parents, did they have a healthy relationship? Because if you've been, you know, living, you know, in your parents' home for like the past, you know, like 18 years of your life, whether you're 20 or you're 30, you're going to subconsciously, you know, develop those behaviors that your parents had. So that's the first tip. Second tip would be to really focus on, better understanding yourself and your self-improvement. Don't focus too much on learning techniques about how to flirt with women or anything like that. Focus first on yourself and, you know, developing yourself. And then third is to always treat women with respect. That's what I recommend, you know, treat women with respect and empathize with them, and it will go a long way.
Amazing. Amazing tips. Where can the listeners go, Chungus, to find out more about you? What's your website, your social, and all of that stuff? Where can they go?
Yes. So you can find me on YouTube, AMQF, Healthy Dating for Men, or you can check out my website, healthydatingconsultation.com. I'm giving away a free consultation call to anybody that wants to book in a time. Just really actionable advice, really, you know, if you want to learn more about working together, really just going to give you actionable advice based on your current dating situation.
Amazing. Share that amazing quote that you shared earlier to end the show. Let's hit us with that to finish things off.
Absolutely, Ali. So yeah, so always, guys, always remember, you know, treat others with respect and spread love, and it will come back to you, especially when you least expect it.
Amazing. Thanks so much for your time. I've loved that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you, Ali.
That's a wrap on another episode of the Kinetic Fitness Show. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this podcast episode with your friends, family, and colleagues. Until next time, peace and love.